Pastor Kerry has got the message this morning, so welcome him up.
Am I on? Am I on? Yep, good. You can hear me? Excellent. Okay, I've got my Vicks Vapor Drops, got my water. We're in for a really, 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 really good morning. And if you're visiting here, a warm welcome to you. And this is Palm Sunday service, obviously. If you hadn't figured it out, there's palms everywhere. Being in the hills, some of us don't like palms. But for Palm Sunday, we'll embrace it, all right? So great job to all those that helped out yesterday. And I was praying this morning in the back room that with the cyclonic weather that we're headed in for, that the palms will not be affected and you guys won't be going home with palms in your hair, so to speak. So just be careful because the winds are fairly wild out there at the moment. But look, I'm really excited to bring you this message this morning, and this is number three of a close-up view of Jesus, and it's the hands of Jesus, and you've got your outlines. Hey, if you haven't got your outlines, there are outlines out there in the, as you walk in. And this one has been really, I'm just going to give you a little background to this. The hands of Jesus, as I was preparing this, and the Lord had me change it every day, right up to this morning. I've changed some things and I want to speak on some things. So I just want to start off with a prayer, but I want you to be attentive. I also want you to listen. And some of you people, don't take offense, all right? Because I'm going to be saying some things that may you need to go and pray and reflect on, okay? It's all about the hands of Jesus this morning. But I can guarantee you everything that I say has come from the Word, from the Bible. And it will always will, and Jesus will always be glorified in everything that is said from this pulpit. Okay, so let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord, with open hearts to you. And Lord, I pray that each mind, Lord, will be attentive to the things of you and you only. Heavenly Father, empty me of myself, and Holy Spirit, fill me afresh, so that I may see with your eyes, hear, Lord, with your ears and heart, and speak, Lord, with your heart. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, if you want me to change anything as I go along, well, Holy Spirit, you do it. You're welcome to move mighty in me this morning, and I pray that you'll move mightily in the people here this morning. Amen? Amen. 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 All right. What's this? Window down. Have you pulled your window up? It's smashed. Oh. Hard to find. If anyone has a window for a silver Barina, please let him know. All right. Have you ever noticed the great variety to be found in people's hands? Look at your hands. Look at your hands. And then look at the person's next to you. Hands. There's a great variety, isn't there? All right. Settle down. You know, I'm amazed at the size of Shaquille O'Neal's hands when you see him palm a basketball. Look at them. Or the hands of a concert pianist with their long and flexible fingers. You know, I've seen hands of ex-convicts who have tattooed them in a way that represents the time that they've served in prison. And some people's hands are crippled with arthritis and they don't have much use of them at all. Some people's hands are missing bits of fingers, and if you're a carpenter, you that's usually what's going to happen. It's part of the trade. The hands of a baby are chubby and cute and always exploring. And if you look around, as you already have, you'll notice a great variety of hands. But the hands we want to concentrate today are the hands of Jesus Christ. Amen? And I must confess that I have never, ever seen Jesus' hands. I've never touched them, and I've never felt them with my own. But in the Word of God, I learn a great deal about them. And by learning of Jesus' hands, I learn that Jesus is the one who I must dedicate my life to. Now let's consider five truths about Jesus' hands today. So in your outline. Now this is this point, healing hands. Now what's it's not an analogy, it's not a cinnamon, it's not a I've got H-A-N-D-S on your outline. What's that called? It's a acronym. That's it. I was trying to figure it out this morning. What is it? I just couldn't get it. But anyway, it's an acronym. Thank you for helping out. And I want you to help out this morning, all right? But this point was hard to write, considering this month we've experienced a few deaths. Well, and with family here at Hillside, with their loved ones. And having to minister to a few people, and especially with people that are suffering from cancer and everything else like that. Some people have been very ill. But I want you to hear the love of God on this point. Now, some people ask, are we Baptist? Are we Pentecostal? Are we Apostolic? Are we Church of Christ? What's our roots? Who are we? What are we? And you know what? From this pulpit here, I believe that we are Christians, which we're Spirit-filled, born-again Christians. And we're not hyper-faith. We're not hyper-grace. We're not hyper-apostolic or anything. We are hyper-Jesus in this place. And that's it. Amen? And I say that because when we're talking about healing, sometimes you might go to the hyper-faith, and I've been at the brunt of this. So I'm speaking out from my own personal experience. When Sally's mum passed away, we had accusations that we did not have enough faith, and she did not have enough faith. And there wasn't enough grace. You weren't being so graceful to people around you. And all these things, all these mucked up, horrible things were being said to us. And I know that that's what's being said in the church. But I hope not this church. Because when it comes to healing, and I'm going to discuss and talk about this, we need to understand what healing is actually all about. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 to 3 says, large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Suddenly, a man with leprosy approached Jesus. He knelt before him, worshipping. Lord, the man said, if you want to, you can make me well again. And Jesus touched him. I want to, he said. Be healed. And instantly, the leprosy disappeared. Now, the power of God was released, and the sick and the afflicted were healed when Jesus touched them with his hands. Jesus was willing to do the unthinkable. This man's body was infested with a dreaded disease known as leprosy. And it would have been bad enough to be just within speaking distance of this man, but to touch him was going a bit too far, especially in those days. Now, it would have been bad enough to be within a speaking distance of him. Could you imagine it? Could you imagine being riddled with leprosy, having someone come in front, just skin falling off, and you going to touch his hands, touch his face or his body? Jesus did that. But Jesus, as usual, was willing to do what no one else would do. He was ready to reach out with his hand, touch the untouchable segments of today's society. Would you touch this man? Would I? Jesus would and did, because he knows that only through his touch can true healing take place. The touch of the Master's hand release God's power then and still does today. Although we do not literally touch Jesus' hands today, his power to heal is activated through prayer and faith. Hear me. Many of us could give testimonies of when we have seen Jesus heal a person in answer to prayer. Amen? I can. I've seen many healings. But many of us could also give testimony of when we have not seen Jesus heal a person in answer to prayer. And that's okay, because we are called to have faith that Jesus will heal. The rest is up to him, not us. All what we've got to do is pray in faith for healing. And I have prayed for many, many people for healing that were dying of cancer and slowly drifting away. And I prayed for healing right up to their last breath. Because I know that God can, if he so desires, heal and perform miracles. Not me, but God can. It's hard for us to understand why Jesus' hand healed one person and not another, isn't it? Or perhaps we don't know what it truly means to be healed. What is the purpose of Jesus' healing? Listen, it is to glorify God. Always. That's it. To glorify God. You know, the following and wonderful prayer of a Norwegian theologian, Ole Hallesby, is this, and I've written it up there. If you want to write this down, because this had a major impact on me in my journey with God when I was healing, asking for healing for people, praying. And I did a study because I too was confused, because I thought that if I just went around and laid hands on everyone, they'd be healed in Jesus' name. Lord, if it will be to your glory, heal suddenly. If it will glorify you more, heal gradually. If it will glorify you even more, may your servant remain sick a while. And if it will glorify your name still more, take him to yourself in heaven. True healing, ladies and gentlemen, takes place when in response to our prayer, God is glorified. Sometimes he is glorified by an immediate and dramatic healing. Sometimes he is glorified when we're allowed to suffer and to be a witness to his name. I don't know if Peter Taylor's in this room this morning. No. But I tell you what, we all know that Peter Taylor has cancer and is very sick. And I've been around there and I've prayed with him. And I'm praying for healing every time. Every day I'm praying, God, heal this man. Heal this man. But you know what? Peter is glorifying God every day. His testimony to his sickness and his relationship with Jesus Christ is outstanding and has taught me a lot over the last few months. This man is glorifying God. Bless him. Heavenly Father, we just pray right now, Lord, for Peter. And Lord, we pray for healing in Jesus' name. But Lord, we pray for comfort. We pray that you take away any pain. Give him peace. Give him comfort. Lord, I thank you for his grace. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for his testimony of his love for you. Lord, I want to honor him this morning. Hallelujah. Lord, we lift up Joy too as she looks after Peter right now. And Lord, I lift up all those of us, Lord, who are sick at the moment. And I pray for healing in Jesus' name. May you be glorified in everything that they are going through. We pray, amen. You know, the ultimate healing takes place not when our healing occurs on this earth. Okay? But when all of our sickness and affliction is taken away, when God receives us into his glorious kingdom, that is when we are healed 100%. You know, it says in Psalm 116, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. We often look over that, don't we? And the final and eternal healing place takes place when our hands are placed in the hands of our Redeemer. One day, each and every one of us will place our hands in the Redeemer's hands. And you will know that you know that you'll know that you are healed in Jesus' name. Number two, A for anointing hands. You know, to anoint generally means to set someone apart for a specific task. It can also mean to set someone apart for a blessing. And we find out the Lord Jesus anoints for blessing those who come to him in humility. All right? The people that come to him with in humility. In Mark chapter 10, verse 13 and 16, a lot of you know this scripture. One day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch them and bless them. Who wouldn't want to do that as a parent? But the disciples told them not to bother him. Could you imagine being a parent, getting so close to Jesus, and then all of a sudden a disciple comes to you and says, no, don't bother him. But when Jesus saw what was happening, he was very displeased with the disciples. That's a nice way of putting it, isn't it? He was very displeased with the disciples. And he said to them, let the children come. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And I assure you, anyone who doesn't have their kind of faith will never get into the kingdom of God. Could you imagine him talking to the disciples like that? The rebuke? Man, just imagine being a disciple. Then he took the children into his arms and placed his hands on their heads and blessed them. Children are a symbolic of humility. When they were brought to Jesus, he touched them and he blessed them. Jesus placed special blessings upon those who came to him in humility and faith. I read a story about a rich baker who sent for 20 of the poorest kids in the town. And he said to them, in this basket is a loaf of bread for each of you. Take one and come back every day and I'll give you more. Immediately, the youngsters began quarrelling about who would get the largest loaf. Snatching from the basket, they left even thanking the baker, as some kids do. Heidi, a poorly dressed little girl, patiently waited until the others had left. She then took the smallest loaf which remained in the basket, kissed the old man's hand, and went home with her little loaf. The next day, the scene was repeated, exactly the same as the first day. The third day, exactly the same scene was repeated as the first day, and so on and so on. But Heidi's mother sliced this little loaf and found many shiny silver pieces inside. And when Heidi took the money back to the baker, he said, no, my child. It was not a mistake. I put them in the smallest loaf to reward you. You see, Jesus' anointing falls on those who serve. Now, we're doing a big serving drive at the moment in Hillside. So for all those who you are serving, there's an anointing that's falling on you. See, Jesus' anointing falls on those who serve not themselves, but those in the world around them. In Mark chapter 10, verse 44, Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all." That's a pretty hard verse to read in this day, isn't it? Especially in our today's society. Whereas it's more or less around the other way. If we want to experience the anointing of Jesus Christ on our lives, we must be first willing to take the smallest loaf in the basket. We must be willing to humble ourselves and receive the kingdom of God like a child. Number three, N for nailed, pierced hands. Nailed, pierced hands. After Jesus' resurrection, he appeared to his disciples in a room where they had gathered. And in John 20:25, Thomas was not there, but at the time of Jesus appeared, and when the other disciples told Thomas about it, he said this. He said, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands and put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wound in his side. Now, could you imagine sitting next to a guy called Thomas? He would not be a believer at all if he hadn't have seen Jesus' wounds. A week later, Jesus appeared to Thomas and said, "Put your finger here and see my hands." Could you imagine that, being Thomas, Jesus coming to you with wounds in his hands and saying, "Here, come here, put your fingers in here." Ugh. But not only that, he then says, "Put your hand into my wound in my side." And then he said, "Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. I think we're in the end times, aren't we? We know we are. We've had the faith movement, the grace movement, all these different movements. But I reckon there's one coming up real quickly, and it's the belief movement. Believe. And Jesus is calling us all to believe in him. You see, when Jesus was crucified, his hands were nailed to the cross. He suffered and died a really cruel death to pay for the sins that we, you and I, have committed. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, he says, "He personally carried away our sins in his own body on the cross so we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. You have been healed by his wounds." See, the nail-pierced hands of Jesus represent his love and sacrifice, which is made possible for all to receive forgiveness and cleansing. You know, while taking a prisoner to court, a local guard took this prisoner from the local court to the local prison one time, and the guard noticed the cross. You have a picture of it up here. Notice the cross around the convict's neck. And now, knowing that this man was not a Christian yet, he took a closer look. And the prisoner attempted to conceal something inside of that cross. And when questioned, he said it was a good luck charm designed to look like a spoon for snorting cocaine. He was telling the truth at some parts. But the guard was sure it looked like it had some more stuff inside it, like a handcuff key. By experimentation, he found that that cross around the man's neck would open all the different kinds of handcuffs and foot cuffs in the prison. This discovery led to the exposure of an attempt by prisoners in a correctional centre that made these cross keys. Little did he know, but there is actually a cross that sets people free. Free from bondage of law, and that cross is the cross of Calvary. Unfortunately, many more and more are concerned about the freedom for the body than they are about the freedom for the soul. So whether inside or outside of prison, all men need the cross to set us free. Amen? Jesus' hands were nailed to a cross designed to set us free from bondage of sin and death. These hands were not pretty to look at. They were torn and they were bloody. But they became that way for you and me. Take hold of Jesus' nail-pierced hands and you take hold of eternal life and freedom. That's what you do. Number four, dedicated hands. D, dedicated hands. I love this little story. A man fell into a pit, and I've got a picture of a man. Obviously, he didn't fall into a pit. He dug himself into a pit. That's the only picture I could find of a man in a pit. All right, so I put that up there. So just imagine he fell into the pit with his shovel. Okay? But this is a picture of a guy in Uganda, okay, that's how they dig wells still today. A lot of them dig wells like that by hand, and they go deep, 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 deep. Yeah.
My dad fell into a pit when he was in there for a day and a half at Bow Island back in the 1940s. Exactly like that?
Well, Bill just said his father fell into a pit for a day and a half. Now, just imagine Bill's father in the pit, okay? Just imagine him being in there, and all of a sudden, a Christian scientist came along and said,
"You only think that you're in a pit."
Well, the Pharisee came by Bill's father and said, "Only bad people fall into a pit." Or a fundamentalist said, "You deserve your pit." The tax man asked if he was paying taxes on the pit. The charismatic person says, "Just confess that you're not in the pit." We'd like to slap them up the side of the head anyway. The optimist said, "Things could be worse." The pessimist said, "Things will get worse." But Jesus, seeing the man, took him by the hand and lifted him out of the pit. You see, the hands of Jesus are dedicated hands. They're dedicated to lifting us up and setting us back on our feet. In the Gospels, we read about a boy with an evil spirit that Jesus' disciples could not cast out. Jesus cast out the demon of the boy's body, and as we read, Jesus took him by the what? The hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Jesus is always lifting us up and starting us back down on the right path. That's his will. With this boy, he did it by casting out a demon. With Zacchaeus, he did it by making a little man a giant man of faith. Jesus' hands are dedicated at taking us from a situation of hopelessness and despair and placing us in an environment of hope, assurance, and eternal glory. See, after Jesus has lifted us up, we must dedicate our hands to placing others in his hands. we do that by helping the less fortunate. We do that by leading people to salvation, by giving a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. Jesus' hands are dedicated to us, so we must dedicate our hands to doing his will. Now, this morning we just heard a testimony of Ewan. I'd forgot about that, but I remembered it when we were having breakfast one morning at Gracie's, and I said to him, why don't you come along to church? Now, I didn't go up to him and place my hand on him, because that would have been a bit weird for him. But in a sense, I placed the verbal hand of Jesus on him and asked him just to come to church. And he did. And now he's serving. The hands of Jesus can operate in a lot of facets. But the biggest one is love, which comes from us. When we show love, we're placing Jesus' hands on those people. Which brings us to number 5. I'm going to finish early this morning. I want you to get these points. Number 5, S, saving hands. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, he said, "Look here, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear me calling, open the door. I will come in and I will share a meal as friends." You know, Jesus stands at the door of our hearts, wanting to gain entrance to them. But he'll only come in if we will open up that door. He'll only come if we open up that door. Early one morning, a fire broke out in a house on a narrow street. A policeman on duty sounded the alarm. Before the fire engines could get to the scene, however, flames were leaping high into the air, suddenly a young man appeared in the upper window in his pajamas. Fireman quickly placed the ladder up against the burning building, but to the concentration of all, he refused to come down, shouting back that he had to get dressed first. The fireman pleaded, "Come as you are! Come as you are! Come down!" But to no avail. From below, they tried to ascend the stairs, but they were turned back when a wind fanned the flames into a fury, and when a rescuer tried to enter through the window, the heat and smoke was that intense that it forced him away. Suddenly the stairs gave way and the roof fell in, and the man had waited too long and was buried beneath the ruins. He died. You see, we need to come to the realization that our house is on fire. And Jesus stands at the door knocking with his hands, ready to rescue us, but he can only enter in when we're ready to receive him. And many of us feel that before we can receive him, we must first dress ourselves in clothes of righteousness. But that day, ladies and gentlemen, will never come. It will never come. You cannot dress yourselves in righteousness before you meet Jesus. Jesus' hands are ready to save us, not because we're good enough, not because we've lived the right kind of lives, and not because we're religious. Jesus' hands are ready to save us just as we are, because he loves us. He says, "Come as you are." Don't wait until you think you've cleaned up your life, or, "Gee, I've got to give up smoking, or I've got to do this, or I've got to do that." Come as you are. He is knocking at the heart, at your very heart, and it's saying, "Please, let me come in. and I will share a meal with you that you will not forget. I will come and walk with you. I will come and help you live a better life than what you're already living. And it's the same as the baptisms. I've heard time and time again, I'm not good enough yet to be baptized. That's the devil speaking. Because Jesus never says in the Bible, you have to tick this, tick this, tick that to be baptized. He just says, repent, believe in me. He's knocking, he's saying, come, accept me into your home and then get baptized as a public declaration. My mother-in-law, last year, 2 years ago, 2 years ago, how old was she? 83. Been in church all her life. Had a revelation that she had to get baptized at 83. And we did it down at the beach with all the youth. And she goes, oh, I feel a bit old. I said, you're not old, you're just a child of God. And then I dunked. Ah. No, it's not.
As you would a mother-in-law.
No, bless her. You know what? She's now in glory. We just, didn't we? 12 months. She's gone. I'm tearing up because she was a woman that epitomizes prayer. She prayed for all her family, and one by one she saw them come to know the Lord because of a faithful woman, her prayer. But you know what? Many, many years ago, she heard the knock, and then all of a sudden her children heard the knock. And if you're hearing the knock today, you're hearing a knock today, open the door of your heart and allow Jesus Christ to come into it. You know, we're heading into a time of celebration in this church and the church globally for Easter. And it's such a really awesome time to be celebrating Christianity, to be celebrating who we are in Christ. And you know what? There's a world out there that's trying to shut us down. They're putting bolts on the doors and they're trying to board up the doors. Can't do it. He's been defeated. The enemy's been defeated. And we've got to start living like he's been defeated. Amen. Can I have the music team up, please? You know, it's a wonderful thing to look at the hands of Jesus. It really is a wonderful thing. It's amazing to read the Bible and find out that his hands have so many different qualities. And the qualities that we've seen this morning is that they are healing hands. They're anointing hands. They're nailed, pierced hands. They're dedicated hands and they are saving hands. But we can only truly experience Jesus' hands when we're willing to grasp them with our own. I was talking to a guy, a pastor last year, that he took over a church. Actually, you know, Chris Roy married him. He took over a church and had about 30 or 40 people in the church. And they were a fairly older church. And took on as the pastoral role there, and after about 3 months, he had a sense in the spirit to do an altar call for salvation. And all these 30 or 40 people have been part of the church for many years, 30, 40 years. And he gave an altar call. Every single person in that room got up and came to the front. Not one of them had ever confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour and accepted Jesus into their hearts. It was a day of celebration. And I'm going to, I don't know, if you want to come up the front, you can, I want to pray for you, but I'm not going to let this opportunity go. If you haven't, if you thought you may have said it, or you don't actually know that you've said it, and you want to say it, not because I've said for you to say it, but in your heart, I want to give you an opportunity now to say it. To actually say, Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Saviour. I repent of my sins. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. If you've never said that, say it. If you confess with your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you are saved. Powerful, isn't it? And it's all right. If you've been in church for 30, 40 years, it's okay. Because it's taken God 30, 40 years and yourself to get to this point. And then the next point is to get baptized. Declare your faith. Just like our mother-in-law, 83 years of age. She said, I want to publicly declare, do it in public, not just in church, but I want to do it in public, publicly declare that I am a Christian, a child of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray, Lord, right now, for each individual in this room. Holy Spirit, you know their heart. You know what they're thinking right now. Lord, some may not even remember giving their lives to you. They may have thought they may have. But Lord, today, Lord, I just want to, Holy Spirit, invite you in through those hearts, the doors of those people. Lord, there's maybe some of us that need to recommit our faith. Let's pray for them right now, Lord. May they see you knocking at their heart. Heavenly Father, forgive us, those of us, Lord, during our walk, Lord, where we have shut the door at times when we wanted to do things on our own. Forgive us for shutting the door in your face. Lord, as we come into a time of celebration of what you did for us on that cross. Lord, I do pray for salvations. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that Good Friday, Lord, that you've given us all a word about the blood. Because, Lord, we know that without your blood shedding for us, Lord, we wouldn't be forgiven. So, Lord, as we just take a time now to reflect our personal relationship with you, I pray, Holy Spirit, speak to us as individuals right now. I just want you to keep your heads bowed and eyes closed and just have a moment with the Lord. Be still. That song we sang this morning, be still. You know, there's nothing that you can do or have done that will stop God from loving you. Nothing. Lord, we just thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, we thank you for the life that you've given us, eternal life. Heavenly Father, help us in everything that we do to glorify your name. Hallelujah. Lord, we lift up those, Lord, in the village right now, Lord, that need a healing hand. Lord, we pray for healing, but Lord, most of all, Lord, we pray for their salvation. Let it glorify you, each salvation. Lord, we lift up, Lord, the school. We lift up the students and the parents and families, Lord, represented at that school. And Lord, we pray for salvation. We pray, let their lives glorify you in everything that they do. Lord, we lift up Tabor Bible College here. Same again. Lord, we lift up Gracie's right now. Lord, the visitors that come into that place from the community. Lord, we have living proof of people here now serving in this place that have come in through the cafe. Lord, we lift up HCCO. Lord, your desire is that, Lord, that we look after the needy and the poor. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we're able to glorify you in everything that we do through HCCO. It's not about our glory, it's your glory, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the people that have come to know you through HCCO. Lord, we just lift up everything that we do here. Lord, I pray for the elders of this place. And I pray, Lord, let all their decisions and thinkings glorify you and you only. Lord, I lift up the Connect Group leaders. Lord, I lift up the servants of this place. And I pray, Lord, let them do everything in glory of you. We lift up the little children now out there on Sunday School Kids Church. Lord, we pray supernatural protection upon them. But Lord, we pray, Lord, let their little hearts and their little minds, Lord, be full of humility that they can come to you and receive that blessing that we were told about this morning. Lord, we lift up parents in this room. Lord, and we pray, Lord, let them parent in giving you glory in everything that they do and say in their homes. Lord, I pray supernatural protection upon marriages in this room. Hallelujah. Pray for my brother John here, and pray for his ankle to be healed in Jesus' name. Pray for all his brothers, Lord, at Shalom, and just pray, Lord, peace. Pray for strength in the Spirit for all his brothers. We pray, Lord, for those that have walked out of the program at Shalom. We say, Lord, bring them back. Lord, we lift up, Lord, those in Teen Challenge right now. Lord, we pray, move mightily. And we thank you, Lord, that for the people that have come out of Teen Challenge on fire for you, wanting to give you the glory in everything that they do. Hallelujah. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Lord, we lift up Craig as he celebrates the life of his grandmother in Melbourne with his father and mother. We pray for a safe travel back. Hallelujah. As I prayed for earlier on, Lord, those who are sick, not doing too well at the moment, Lord, we just pray healing. Healing, healing, healing. Let them know it be you. Let them give you the glory. Hallelujah. Let the people here go and tell their loved ones this morning that they were prayed for. Hallelujah. Open the door for divine appointments. Lord, right now, open those doors. Lord, as we enter into a time of celebration of Easter, Lord, I pray for divine appointments upon every single person in this room, that we'll be able to boldly declare your love to the world through the cross. Hallelujah. And as we have those divine appointments, we pray, Holy Spirit, you'll direct us. Lord, some of us, Lord, you'll be saying to us, shut our mouths. Well, shut our mouths. Some of us, Lord, will be told to speak. So, Lord, I pray over those people. I say, speak boldly, with boldness, hallelujah, and with clarity. Pray for salvation, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. What a glorious day.